This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, 2 times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for joining me for another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes today. I am so delighted to have the wonderful Emma Howarth with us. So Emma, if you don't know, is a resident astrologer at Glamour Magazine and the author of 2 books, The Astrology Almanac, Your Guide to Living Your Cosmic Best Life in 2024, and A Year of Mystical Thinking, a memoir about the year she explored all sorts of spiritual practices in a bid to make life better. Amazing. Welcome to the show, Emma. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I am so, so excited to talk all things mystical thinking, magical living, and of course, astrology as well today. But before we dive into all of your goodness, I would love to know, Emma, when did you spiritually awaken? What is your story?
Yes, good question. I don't think I can kind of put a very specific date on the answer to that question. I was like a child who believed in magic. Like I was always in the back garden making the potions with the an old twig and some rose petals that I'd have found, fallen rose petals. So I think I always had this like belief in something bigger, belief in magic. I've always been someone who was like, staring at the stars. I suppose if I had to kind of name a moment in my life, it probably would be the moment at the end of 2017 where I decided to embark on a year of mystical adventures in a bid to make my life better. So I'd kind of had this really terrible year in 2017, which if people have read my first book, A Year of Mystical Thinking, they will read all about. And someone had told me, like, when you lose your way in life, you should look back to what lit you up when you were younger. Mm. And that kind of quote was like going around my head, a bit like a mantra. And then I found my old tarot cards in a box in the basement. And I was like, light bulb moment, this is my moment. And that it was there by, in my basement, surrounded by junk and old kids' cot beds and a wedding fondue set that we'd never opened, that I decided I was going to embark on this year of mystical adventures in which I just tried, or I sort of discovered or rediscovered, because in a lot of the cases I was rediscovering a practice that maybe as a teenager I'd always read tarot cards, I was rediscovering things like that. But a different spiritual practice every month for a year. And that was just really a personal project that I embarked on to try and make my life better. But it is the project that eventually became my first book. So I'd say that moment by the fondue set with the tarot cards, maybe, was a bit of a magical moment, spiritual awakening.
Mm. And, you know, as you can imagine, I hear all sorts of different stories and journeys on this podcast. And it's interesting because sometimes there is that really big aha moment and it's undeniable that at that moment, a bit like for myself, it was like, that was when I spiritually awakened. But, you know, we have multiple awakenings, I feel, in our life, and there's always unfoldings in different ways in different parts and seasons of our lives. So yeah, I love that that was what spurred on the first book and that journey. How magical. So Emma, a lot of people may have heard of the word magic, or maybe have some kind of opinions on the word magic from maybe some of the negative connotations that have been created out there in the past. So what does the word magic mean to you?
I would say it's kind of like sort of harnessing an ability to kind of cultivate the ability to see the power and the wonder that is right in front of you. Really, that's what magic is to me. So it's finding the magic in the small things, in the everyday things, finding the magic in the life you've already got. So, I mean, I completely believe in magic, and I would say to anyone who's not sure they do believe in magic that if you've ever blown out a candle on a birthday cake and made a wish, then you've cast a spell, then you believe in magic. So, I guess just cultivating an ability to see the wonder in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting because when I came across manifestation like 8 years ago now, you know, I was very much like, oh, magic. No. When actually I was like, Emma, you're literally casting spells. Like every time you set an intention and your moon rituals and your crystals, like you are full on a little witchy girl here. So it's funny how we can almost resist it. And I think there was a lot of unraveling there for me around, you know, the witch wound and unraveling, you know, why I felt resistance to that. So I think it's great that there's so many different ways to, you know, explain magic and how it resonates with you. But I love how you describe it in that magic and everyday, because I think when you bring it into the everydayness, it makes it so much more grounded. And it is, you know, the small moments each day that we find those magical moments add up to the bigger moments of creating that magical life. So yeah, I love what you shared there. Thank you. So magical living is one of the teachings that you teach, and I'm so intrigued, Emma, to know more about it and how we can use magical living to manifest our desires.
I think sort of one of the most popular chapters in my book, the one that most people sort of send me DMs about, is the March chapter, which is all about everyday magic. And it's kind of a chapter sort of in my own journey where I was like, you know, I was trying everything, and I was like, a sound bath, I was discovering my spirit guides, I was practicing yoga, learning to meditate, doing tarot cards, you know, so many things. I almost became overwhelmed by this like spiritual to-do list, which was the exact opposite of what I was really trying to achieve. And so I kind of dialed it all back and thought, how can I turn like routines into rituals? How can I find the magic in the mundane? And that's really where, you know, where I really found my thing was like, make it easy. It doesn't have to like look like it looks on Instagram, you know. It doesn't need to be like five different candles all in different colors and herbs sprinkled around all of them and a ritual bath full of rose petals. Like, that's beautiful if you have time and you can make that happen for yourself. That's lovely. Like, no shade on anyone who's doing that, but you know, a lot of us have really busy full lives, and I really believe in the power of like maybe stirring an intention for the day into a cup of tea that you're drinking anyway. Or if you are someone who takes these kind of long hot baths, maybe at the end of it, you pull the plug out and you visualize whatever you're trying to let go of disappearing with the bathwater, like really simple practices. So I think through kind of finding ways to incorporate these small magical practices into your life, you begin to see the wonder and the magic in the world. And by doing that, I think you kind of you know, it's a bit like what you said before, like the small steps become the big steps. So I think in terms of things like manifestation, like absolutely, I believe in manifestation. I, you know, have my own manifestation practice, but I know we've had a conversation about this before, you know, on Instagram DMs, like, you know, we're not all starting from the same point with manifestation. Like, if it was that easy to manifest every single thing that you wanted in the world, we'd all have every single thing we wanted. So my thing is really start small, and in seeing that you can make a day more magical by stirring that intention in, and then maybe your intention was to write 500 words of the book you want to write, and you do it. And then the next thing you know, you've done that for 10 days. And then you actually are on the path to manifesting, say, the book deal. I don't know why that's come into my head, but whatever, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do, start small. Taking any small step towards something will become a bigger picture eventually. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree, because I feel like, you know, and even on my journey, I fell into this very early on. You know, you can almost throw everything at manifestation and be like, right, I'm going to do all these methods and all these practices and all these affirmations and all of this. And, you know, sometimes, Emma, people message me saying, you know, I'm doing this, 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 and this. Why isn't it working? And it almost feels overwhelming for me to read that. So I'm like, if I'm overwhelmed, how does it feel for you to do that every day? So I think, you know, when you overwhelm yourself in that way, you do fall off the bandwagon and you're not going to stick to it. And it's not going to be intentional, and it's not going to, you know, be something that actually lights you up and serves you, because it feels like a chore. Yeah. And I think when things become a chore, that's when, you know, like the magic, you know, it's not working. The magic has gone from that. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, creating different rituals and practices and mixing things up and trying things, but most importantly, making it fit in your day is so important, and the number one way that I've stayed consistent over the years. And I know a lot of people, and I know you're saying that as well, Emma. So yeah, I love the
if you're spending hours making vision boards and doing affirmations, like, you're spending all the time that you could be spent doing the thing you want to do on the practice of manifesting instead of actually manifesting what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. And it's that action, isn't it, as well, around, you know, you can meditate, you can visualize, you can do all of those great things, but you've also have to show up in the physical. You have to meet the universe halfway. And I think sometimes people get lost in that journey of the hows, or like you say, you know, finding the time to do that. So yeah, I love what you shared there, because I think it will help a lot of people be like, ah, okay, I need to focus on the small things, focus on those little rituals. So Emma, I want to know, what led you to writing A Year of Mystical Thinking, and how can we make life feel magical again?
So that this is a bit of a magical kind of, you know, delivered by the universe kind of story, I suppose. Because I think I've been a journalist my whole life. I've been a writer my whole life. And I think I kind of always wanted to write a book. I always thought I'd write a novel. And when I started the mystical project year, it genuinely was just me trying to make myself feel better after this terrible year. But obviously I was a writer, so I set up a little Instagram and wrote little bits, and I had a blog. But it wasn't, you know, it was kind of like a few people have said to me, oh, you should turn it into a book. And I think I was like sort of half-heartedly working on a book deal, but getting really bogged, not working on a book deal, working on a book proposal. I was getting really bogged down in the details of that, and not really kind of, you know, spending more time thinking about how I was going to prove that I was the right person to write the book than I was actually just writing the book. And then at the beginning of that first lockdown in 2020, there was kind of like this weird moment where a friend who'd come, so I was running like moon rituals locally, and a friend who'd come to one of those moon rituals had a brother who was a literary agent, and he was looking for someone to write a book on astrology. And because I wrote the horoscopes for Glamour magazine, she suggested me, and something made me just kind of go, okay, yeah, I could totally write a book on astrology. I've written loads of books before because I used to work for Time Out and write books for them. But I was like, but I've got this idea for another book. And I sent it to him, and it was just like one of those duh-duh-duh moments where he was like, I love it, it's perfect. Send me the proposal, or sent it. You know, within a few months, he'd sold that book. So that's how I came to write the book, which was yeah, a lovely story. And it's been an amazing experience to have written it. I mean, the messages I get from people saying it's really helped them see the world in a different way are just brilliant. That's, you know, that makes it all worth it. But yeah, so other than read the book, which would be my one tip, again, it really is about finding the things that resonate with you, I think. So if you want to live a more magical life, work out what feels magical for you. And that might be walking in nature. It might be getting really into kind of being this kitchen witch who's like cooking up potions and stuff all the time, you know, like herbal medicine, herbal remedies. That might light you up. Or you might want to get in an allotment and grow stuff. Or you might be all about the moon. It might be like, you know, I just get really in touch with moon phases and I set my intentions on the new moon and I let things go at the full moon and just learn to live in that cycle. Or it might be lighting candles every night. You know, people need to find their own thing. And there's lots of inspiration out there on Instagram and online and in books as well. So I think to live a more magical life, it's really about getting in touch with your kind of your inner self, your inner knowing, your own intuition, and learning to trust yourself and let go of things that are holding you back, limiting beliefs, these ideas that we have within us that are like, I don't deserve that, I can't do that, that won't happen for me. And just slowly, slowly kind of find the magic again, make life feel more magical. And I think once you do one thing, it's the domino effect. You will have experienced this yourself many times. It's amazing. Like, you just put it out there that you're interested in sound baths, and the next thing you know, someone's inviting you to a sound bath, or one shows up on your Instagram, and it all knocks together. And then you go to the sound bath and you meet someone who's teaching a yoga class, and then that becomes the yoga class that changes your life. And then I just think once you open yourself up to magic, it will find you.
So true. And it's all about setting that intention, isn't it? And just being open. And I agree, you know, hence why I wrote a whole book on it about, you know, the inner work and, you know, healing those parts of you that stop the flow of magic. Because I always compare it to, you know, like when we're children and you have that childlike magic and everything seems so expansive and magical and amazing. And then obviously we grow up, life gets serious, and we have these limiting beliefs, fears, traumas, identities that we carry around that then, you know, don't feel as magical and don't feel as expansive and childlike. So I think, yeah, that inner child work is, for me, has been the number one thing to connect me back to magic and invite that magic back in. But I love what you say around the dots connecting and the domino effect, because it's so true. And I can think back in my life of, yeah, like I went to that class and then met that person, they introduced me to that person, and then that happened. So I think they call it like the red string effect or something on TikTok, I've heard it called.
Okay, yeah, like invisible string, like the Taylor Swift song.
Yes, love it, amazing. So Emma, what are the biggest blocks to living a magical life, do you think?
Oh, well, I suppose the things we just touched on then, like limiting beliefs, kind of self-sabotage. I think the other really big one is perfectionism, like the idea that you can't do anything unless it's perfect is one that I just want to like eradicate from the world. Because like if every time I wanted to like set an intention on the new moon, I had to create a perfect new moon ritual, I would never set an intention on the new moon. Like, I mean, I genuinely, like, it is good enough to write a note on your phone before you go to bed. Like, if that's what you've got time for, that's enough. That's still setting an intention. It's still putting something out there. Like, it's lovely if you can light a candle and sit there handwriting out a...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Wish list, you know, to the cosmos. But if you can't, and all you can do is just write that note on your phone or even just think it in your head before you go to sleep, it's enough. Like, let go of this idea of perfection, like in everything we do as well. Like people who are like, you know, agonizing over Instagram posts, like just post them. Like worrying about whether their writing is good enough, just keep writing. I really hate perfectionism. I think a lot of us, I suffer from it myself, a lot of us do. And the limiting beliefs. So I just think we have to let go, find ways to let go of this idea that we're not worthy of joy or magic or happiness. Like life, getting stuck thinking life has to stay how it is, because there's something that everyone can do today to make their life a bit more magical if they choose to. And I genuinely mean that from a place of like, you know, you don't need to have loads of time. You don't need to have loads of money. You know, you can do something small today, even if that is just stirring a wish into a cup of tea.
I love that. And me too on the perfectionism front. Me too. It has been a journey for sure. And, you know, I think back even on my writing journey, like in school, I was not the best writer at all. I got very average grades in English. So when I started my blog, you know, like 10, 11 years ago, it was awful. Like if everybody went back and read that first post, honestly, I think I would be shocked even myself, you know. But over the years, over time, as I wrote more and more weekly, I realized, okay, that's my writing style. That's my write how I want to write. Okay, that's not the right grammar. I can change that. That's not quite how I want to word something. So over those 10 years, of course, my writing upgraded to what it is today. And heck, we have editors nowadays, which is great. But for me, it was really that permission slip of, I'm going to do it anyway, even though I don't feel ready, even though I don't feel like my writing is grammatically correct or flows in the best way. I want to put that message out there. And I really want to help someone this week with this information. And I think, like you say, we get so caught up on, have I spelt this right? Is this the right time to post it? Is the algorithm going to like it? Is this the right photo to go with the post? Have I styled that photo properly? That it loses the whole magic of it. And I tell you what, Emma, I don't know about you, some of my most successful posts that have, you know, been seen by the most amount of people are the ones where I've literally just snapped a picture or done something really quickly. And the magic in that moment is that it was so deeply intentional, but not from perfectionism, from I've just taken this photo or I've just written this paragraph just because it felt really good to do so.
I mean, genuinely, that's how I always do it. I there's probably anyone who's kind of a social media manager will be like straight in my DMs going, I can help you. But I plan nothing and I just do it all spontaneously because I can't bear the idea of it being contrived in any way. So I'm just like, just do it that morning and paste it. Like, I have a couple of templates that I use for things, but I do them off the hook.
I think it's better that way as well. Like, I feel like your creativity can flow so much more when you do that. And you're tapped into the energy of that day. Like, if I was to create posts 2-3 weeks in advance, gosh, like, you know, it would be all right, but it wouldn't, you know, really contain the magic of that morning of how I felt or, you know, what words wanted to come through. So we probably both would be given lots of advice, Emma, but it works for us. That's all that matters.
I mean, I don't mind if someone wants to come into my inbox and tell me how to do it.
Love this. So how can we get started with magical living? What are your top tips?
I think just, you know, a bit like I said before in that previous question, just tune in to what works for you. Like, I'm kind of loath to give a prescriptive, these are the top three things, but I just think if you are the kind of person who is, you know, finds nature inspiring, then commit to a 10-minute walk every day. Like, find a way to make that happen. If you're the kind of person who is into the moon, just start following the cycles, like have them in your calendar. Just find whatever works for you. If you love tarot cards, shuffle them every morning and pull a card and use that to kind of, you know, give you a bit of magical guidance for your day. And the other thing, really, the most important thing, is just notice the magic that's all around you. Actually, one thing that I think is really easy and quite fun is to choose a sign. Like, so that's something that I did, and that happens in one of the chapters in my book, like choose a sign. In fact, I think it's probably the March chapter again. And I chose rainbows. And now whenever I, you know, feel like I need to know that I'm on the right path or I'm making the right decision, I'll be like, show me a sign, and then I'll see a rainbow. Not necessarily in the sky, like it could be, you know, an Instagram rainbow, or I turn on the TV and there's a rainbow, or a book has a rainbow on the cover. But I think, and obviously your sign doesn't have to be a rainbow, it can be whatever you want it to be, but that's a really easy way to connect to something quite magical. Decide what your sign is, whether it's like owls or elephants, I don't know, whatever it might be, and then you can ask the universe to show you a sign. That's quite an easy magical tip.
Yeah, one of my favorites as well. And I think it really helps to build that trust muscle as well, doesn't it? Of when you're kind of new to creating magic in your life or spirituality as a whole, you kind of want to know the universe is there. You want to open up that connection and that conversation. And I love that signs and synchronicities can do that for us. And in the most like magical, mind-blowing ways as well. I always say, show me this in a way that I can't deny it, you know, that is undeniably my sign. And it's always funny how it shows up, because like you say, it might be on. I think once I even had someone wearing a t-shirt with the word on, and it wasn't like a really obvious, you know, slogan or t-shirt that you could pick up on the high street. It was like obviously something they'd had custom made, and it was like, this is your sign, and then the picture of like the pink elephant or whatever it was that my sign was. And I was like, I mean, are they just walking around being people's signs? Did they know they're doing this? It was uncanny.
I think that's kind of the other, that's a really good example of the more you sort of look for magic, the more you see it, right? Like, you know, when I kind of, you know, whenever I do anything like this, I'll suddenly start seeing things everywhere. Like, it's just, even just going outside and noticing spring happening is magic, really.
Oh, so excited for spring. So excited. So Emma, your latest book, The Astrology Almanac, is out now. And we love astrology here on the podcast, as you know. So I would love to know, how do you use astrology in your day-to-day life to create magic and help those desires come into fruition?
It probably won't surprise you to hear that one thing I quite like to sort of do in all my kind of practices to simplify things. So I love just tuning into the astrological energy of an astro season. So right now we're in Pisces season, which is associated with the 12th house in astrology. So that's all kind of like meditation and yoga and spirituality and endings and closure and, you know, well-being, mental health, like lots of those kind of themes. And so I quite like to sort of tune into that. And obviously everyone has a birth chart that's unique to them. So Pisces season will be igniting an area of your chart, depending on what your rising sign is. And I think it's really nice to find that out and to look into that and connect with that. And I definitely connect with that quite deeply. But also just the, even if you don't want to get into birth charts and rising signs, just to connect with the vibe of the season is really powerful and magical. And so also along with that are things like, you know, the new moons, the full moons, retrogrades, eclipses. I'm quite exciting to kind of understand eclipses and sort of the big astro events. Like obviously in January we had Pluto moving into Aquarius, and then in May there's Jupiter moving into Gemini, and there's lots of, you know, you can kind of, there's so much magic in astrology if you choose to look into it. But on the most simplistic level, just tuning into the vibe of the season, I think, is a brilliant way to add a bit of magic to your life. So as we kind of approach the spring equinox on the 20th, that will be the start of Aries season, and that is the first house, and that's like a real fresh start energy. So probably exactly what a lot of people are needing. You know, if you don't quite feel that whole January New Year's resolutions thing, then spring is your time. And, you know, wait until the spring equinox, do your big plan for the year then. That's when it's all happening. That's when the energy will be right for it to happen.
Mm. And it's so interesting that a lot of us don't feel motivated come January the 1st. Like, it feels counterintuitive, doesn't it? Because we're in the depths of winter, which is all about like hibernating, rest, letting go, death, all of that, rebirth. And then we're like, oh, I suddenly need to know my whole plan for the year. Whereas actually now, and obviously when this podcast episode comes out, will be the perfect time for it as well. It really does have that different energy. It has that spring in the step. And I feel so much more motivated to look at my January goals now and be like, does that still align? Does that still feel good? How has that shifted since January? So I think it's a good check-in point if you do your goals in January. But yeah, I agree. There's something about the spring equinox and Aries season energy that is undeniably that new astrological year, that new astrological season. And it's great because it can give us that energy and portal almost to, you know, really push forward with those goals and start to get that green light from the universe. So yeah, set your goals, everyone, if you are feeling maybe didn't do January ones.
Yeah, it's definitely a powerful time. It's real like go-getter energy, that Aries energy. It's just like do it anyway. Yeah, forget the perfectionism, just do it.
Amen. And as an Aries rising, I can confirm it definitely does feel like that energy. I feel that all the time. So Emma, is there any other astrology we should be looking out for this year? Anything that can really help us?
I mean, I'm quite excited about the Jupiter in Gemini change in May. I think there's a lot of magic in that. So if you kind of work out what area of your birth chart that will connect with, that's like a new kind of injection. Jupiter's the planet of luck and fortune, so a new injection of luck and expansion in that area of your life, that's quite exciting. I mean, particularly exciting for the Geminis. And yeah, there's some magical astrology happening. There's going to be a total solar eclipse in April. That's quite exciting. So there's lots of magic to look forward to. And I think you can take it as deep as you want to take it. But I definitely encourage people to look up where that shift, Jupiter shift, is going to happen for them, because I think that can be quite inspiring to be like, oh, it's going to be in my house of writing or my house of family or my house of love, and just sort of know that you've got a bit of magic coming in May.
Love that. I'm off to check that after our call. I'm going to see where it is. But Emma, what can we expect from your new book? Why should we pick it up, and what will we get from reading it?
From the Astrology Almanac. I mean, the great thing about this almanac is just it's very easy to understand. So if even when I was saying all that stuff just then, you kind of tuned out because you're like, oh, astrology, it's too complicated. Or if your interest was piqued, but you're not an astrologer, you're not an expert on these things, this book is the answer basically to that, because you can just pick it up, flick to whatever month you're in. It will tell you the vibe of the astro season. It will tell you exactly what it means for your sign. It will tell you what the new moon means for your sign that month, what the full moon means for your sign, and any major retrogrades. I'll tell you what planets are in retrograde, what that means. It's just a really simple, easy beginner's guide to the astrology of 2024. And actually a great time to get it would be at the start of the astrological new year. So yeah, spring equinox would be perfect.
divinely timed. I love it. And I'm definitely off to get a copy as well, because sometimes it can feel overwhelming. And like, I get the basics of astrology, but you know, like when I'm reading my chart and I'm trying to find the house that it's in and all this jazz, like it's just nice to have a book where it's like, this is the house it's in. This is what's happening for you. This is what the energy is going to be.
And that was really my goal, just to make it so simple that you could just know nothing and pick it up and read it for your star sign alone. Or you could know a tiny bit. You could know what your rising sign is. And then you could read for your star sign and your rising sign and get, you know, another level. It's just really simple. I've made it so you can get your dose of magic without having to understand it all. And to be honest, if you did pick it up and read it every month, you'd probably understand a lot about astrology by the end of the year.
Love that. And we'll put a clickable link to Emma's book in the description below as well, so you can go and check that out. So Emma, where can everybody find you if they want to learn more about your work?
So on Instagram is probably the best place, which I'm at Emma Howarth Writes on there. I am also on TikTok, but I'm very bad on there. And my website is emmahowarth.com. So I do sort of try and offer readings once a month, so if anyone ever wants a reading, have a look at the booking link on there. But mostly the best place to find me is on Instagram.
Incredible. And my last question to you today then is, what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my lovely listeners with?
I feel like I should have thought about this question. I'm just off the cuff like usual. I think my life advice would be maybe even the life advice that led me to my own little light bulb moment by the fondue set. Because if you feel like you've lost your way in life, I think it can be really powerful to look back and think about what lit you up when you were younger, like before the world told you who you were, before all this responsibility was put on you, before you had to deal with, you know, life, all the stuff life throws at you, like, what lit you up? What did you find magical? Were you like a painter, an artist? Were you a child who was dancing all the time? Were you a teenage witch? Were you an actress? I don't know, whatever. Look back and think what truly lights you up. Because I think when you kind of, even if it's just a tiny thing, just finding that tiny spark is often all you need to start fire. A good fire, not a bad fire.
I love that. And it's true. It's the simplicity, isn't it? It's taking it one step at a time, and that initiation and invitation to invite that magic back in. So I love that. And I'm sure everyone's going to love diving into your work, Emma, and finding out even more. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your pearls of wisdom. It has been so much fun, Emma.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for joining me for another one of my podcast episodes today. I really hope you've enjoyed Emma and I's conversation. As always, you can find a clickable link to Emma's work in the description below. And if you want to find out anything more about myself, my coaching, my videos, my books, or anything else that I have to offer, you can find it all at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things law of attraction and spirituality. I hope you have an amazing week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.